Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. And sometimes we make the mistake of thinking church is performance or presentation. It's just not. It's just not, right? Church, man, it's family. It's God's family gathered together in prayer and in worship, making a joyful noise. Standing by the teens, a lot of joyful noise, you know what I'm saying? Like, actually, that's probably me making the joyful noise. Sorry, Josh. Jesus loves us. Man, he loves us. And church is not a show, and it's not a presentation. It is a gathering of the family of God. To worship him, sure. Do we need to have some band music maybe and orchestration to help us all at least be similar on the... No, probably not. Probably be more fun if we didn't. But it's pretty fun sometimes if we do. Do we need really great preaching with... No, I proved that week after week. Man, it is good to be part of the family of God, to be offered the opportunity to be God's children. What an incredible thing. What an incredible thing. We have no comprehension. We will one day, right? I mean, some of us are in families. Some of us have been adopted, and we know what it feels like to be adopted and to be wanted by somebody. Some of us are in families, and we're like, how do I get out of this family? Like, we get a big mess of family, right? We get that. But man, one day we will see in its fullness what it means to be a restored son and daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's going to be an awesome picture. If you don't know that, man, I want that for you more than I want anything else. More than I want you to laugh at one of my jokes, right? I want you to know that you are loved and desired in relationship by God. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter what your struggle, no matter where your rebellious heart may have taken you, no matter what you believed, he loves you, and he wants relationship with you so much. Well, this morning, we're going to deviate a little bit here in our sermon time together. We've been talking about Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, and this upside-down kingdom and God's call, Jesus' call, really, to what his sons and daughters, his brothers and his family look like, right? How we ought to live, what righteousness looks like from a heart level, not some kind of outward expression of something that's not really genuine in us. But today, we're going to talk a little bit about what it looks like to be a member of the body of Christ, because we're going to do something with membership today, which we don't ever do. And once a year, maybe once every 5 years, we talk about membership. And you're going to find this morning that membership is going to maybe take a little different picture than what you think or don't think. But I want to visit this together a little bit, because I think it matters as we think about living out his kingdom and how that looks. Romans 12, 4 through 8, paints this picture of this body of Christ and what it looks like to be part of his church, really. It says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given to each of us. For some, right, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. Teaching, then teach. Encouraging, then encourage. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. It's this picture in just real simplistic form of what it looks like to be part of a body, right? We all get it. Sometimes you might be like, I'm all thumbs, right? I get that. But like, we're not all thumbs, thankfully, because we need some other parts, right? Sarah sharing about your friend Jacob there. I mean, what a rough deal to lose a part of his body because that part of his body is gone and can't function and carry out its function. All of us have a role to play in the family of God and the body of Christ. All of us. And if the body decides not to do its function, we got some problems, right? With the foot's like taking the day off today. Knee, I'm not going to bend. I'm done. We're just out for a while, right? Some of us have been there. We walked through some of that stuff. You might be like, my brain shut off all weekend. I know. I'm not feeling, right? It happens. But all of the parts of our body matter because they do important stuff to help us function, right? It's that same picture in the body of Christ. One of the big mistakes we make in the body of Christ is to think that the important people are on a platform. I mean, they are not. The most important people we have in the church are making the coffee. Well, that's not true, but maybe it is some days, right? I don't know, right? Yeah. I mean, that's just watch one Sunday if we decide not to, right? Right? Church is ruined, totally shot. You know, Jesus might say, hey, the most important people are the people next door leading the kids and teaching the kids. And I wouldn't argue that one, man. Plus, they have more fun and they get to do Play-Doh. So I'm just saying, you might want to get in on that. The least important people might be the people who stand up here helping facilitate. Because facilitation is really just helping everybody else do the work and do the important stuff, right? My job is to try to help you see what Jesus wants you to do to change the world. That makes my job sort of secondary to what you're called to do and to be, right? Like, we get this all messed up and we look at importance and value in the wrong way. Well, this morning we're going to talk about being a member of the body of Christ and kind of specifically about membership and really what it means to be a member of this church. And I'm not a big membership fan, like as a concept. Like, I'm not a member of very many things. I'm a bit of a, what do you call that? Like, if you say I should do this, I don't do that. Is that sinner? Is that the word? I'm not sure what it is. But like, I am very much a nonconformist, right? Jamie will tell you, like, sometimes she'll tell me to do something and I just don't do it. Okay, that's a different issue probably, right? But Jed, are you a nonconformist? Yes, you are. Okay. If you look up the word nonconformist, it'll have a picture of middle school boys in the dictionary, just so you know. That's a thing. That's a deal. But we get membership, right? Like Scott, special shout out, AAA, right? You might have a AAA membership, meaning you pay some money and you get some privileges, like they come help you if your battery dies in Idaho. Been there. You might have a fitness membership so that you get to go to a gym and hate your life several days a week and then come home, right? There's some things like that. You might have a Netflix membership or a streaming services membership so that you can get access to some stuff. We get the concept of membership. But as we think about being a member of the body of Christ and really specifically our church family, what membership means, I want to unpack it a little bit because membership does have privileges. They're just probably not privileges you want, right? Let's just be honest about that. Some of what we do is kind of take the world's version of what it means to be a member of something and apply it to the church. So we're going to look at a couple things. Membership, not so much what it is, but not. It's not about status. I want you to look around really quick. Just look around beside you. See if you can identify four official White Rock church members. You can tell them because they got a really cool sticker. Oh, wait, no, that's not it. They're more saintly. They don't have a Bible with them because they got it memorized, right? That's how you know. I'll tell you what, I can look around here and I'm not really even sure myself, but that doesn't matter, right? Because I should probably know some of this, right? It's not about status. You don't get to be a member of White Rock Fellowship and now all of a sudden you drink your coffee with your pinky up. You know what I mean? That's not how we roll and that's not what membership is about. Membership is really about this word, service. Here's what Jesus said. What the scripture say, we'll get to Jesus in a minute. You, brothers, sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. In Romans, never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. In Matthew, the greatest among you, Jesus said, will be your, status symbol, servant. I love this statement. I keep trying to find who said it. You would think with the internet I could find it, but I think maybe everybody's taking credit for it. I'm not sure. Favorite quote probably of my life is just simply this. Serving others does not lead to greatness. Good background music. I like that. Serving others does not lead to greatness. And then you see this and you're like, but Jesus, oh, no. Serving others, and quote me on this, does not lead to greatness. Serving others is greatness. It is greatness. It's how Jesus defined greatness. We define greatness as status, of importance, of significance. And Jesus says, the greatest among you will be the one who serves everybody else. The toilet bowl cleaner has better status than the piano player in the kingdom of heaven. Now, Robin, if you clean the toilets and piano, you're set, no worries. But you get the idea, right? It's not about some kind of status. For even the Son of Man did not come to be what? Served, but to what? Serve and to give his life as a ransom. And then in 1 Peter, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Being a member of White Rock Fellowship as a church isn't about the status of how spiritual you are. It's really an invitation to roll up your sleeves. That's why I did this today. Roll up your sleeves and get to work serving and helping and making a difference in the family of God that you're a part of. That's a biblical picture. And in the world around you. Sometimes we think somehow we've arrived when we become an official member of a church. Well, you are officially now expected to roll up your sleeves and get to work and serve others, because that's what Jesus officially said was great. And we want you to have a chance to be great here at White Rock Fellowship. All right. It's not about status. It's also not about honor, dignity, piety, self-righteousness. It's really about humility. It's really about humility. Scripture says, be completely humble and gentle, patient with each other, bearing each other's burdens, right? In love. Do nothing out of selfish ambition, vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others. Thinking of others above yourself. Super contrary to the way we live, right? Not even close. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Jesus over and over talks about being careful in your gatherings as a church not to give special status to the person who drives in the BMW. I mean, it's roughly translated, right? But instead, to treat all people equally. Because you have the nicest BMW, but it ain't going to get you anywhere in the kingdom of heaven. God is not a respecter of our economy. God's greater than our economy. And he loves everyone, and everyone has equal value. Skin color, language, hair volume, all of it, right? Same status. I don't care what you guys, all that hair say. All right, so it's not about honor. It's about humility. It's also not about factions. Well, we're part of the upper crust, this group or that group or this little church clique of super cool members, and then like the, oh, I'm a five-year, oh, I'm a founding, ooh, a founding member. Founding member. You know what that means? You're responsible for the whole mess, not even part of the mess, right? You've been here from the beginning. It's all your fault. That's just own it, right? You can act like that's some kind of great deal. It's not about factions. It's about family. It's about family. God's design for his church is family. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. He first and foremost invites us into his family. This brings up a really important question. What are the requirements to get into membership here at White Rock Fellowship? You know, I love our church, love hanging out. My favorite thing about White Rock is people don't know if they're a member or not sometimes. I love that, because we don't make it a big deal. It's totally cool. Why do we do membership? Well, if we're a 501c3 organization, we got to have some official membership. We got to do an official annual meeting. We got to vote for some board members. And the board is representative of our congregation and helps just kind of govern our general policy and stuff so that we legally are functioning appropriately. And there's some accountability and all those things. Those are good. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But if we didn't have to do that, you would probably never hear the word membership from me, because it's just not a big deal in that sense of status or significance, because we're all invited to be a part of God's family. But there is one requirement to be a member of White Rock Fellowship. There is one. You have to be a member of God's family. Because if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're not going to the Father. You're not part of the family. And anybody can have that. But if you don't, well, let's get that squared away first, right? But also, if you can get into God's kingdom and his family, we did the math, we ran the numbers, should be just as easy to get into White Rock Fellowship. Just thought it made sense, right? So if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you have a relationship with him, you're invited to be a part of this family. Heck yeah. Because what do we got that the kingdom of heaven doesn't have, right? Besides really good jokes. I'm just kidding. All right. Consequently, Ephesians says, you're no longer foreigners, strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. And then 1 Timothy, I think, is the governing principle of how I live in the church world, and I think this is how we're supposed to function. Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. It's the design for how the church is supposed to work. It's not a CEO situation, right? It's not. It's a family situation. We got some fathers and some mothers and some sisters and some brothers. You know, based on Lamar's balloons, we have some great, great, great grandfathers. I mean, there's all kinds of different people in the mix, right? Sorry, Lamar. Couldn't help myself. And that was not my fossil joke. That was Dax's fossil joke this morning in front of Scott, and then I got labeled for it. I mean, I thought it was a great joke. Don't get me wrong. But okay, so family. Family is so important. So important. And as a member of White Rock Fellowship, the expectation is that we treat each other like we're family. Now, I know you're thinking, sweet, so I can throw stuff and curse at you? No, not your family, the family of God, right? Not the families that are all messed up that we've seen. We all bring some serious baggage from family. You guys have met my dad. You know what's going on there, right? There's a lot of stuff that we deal with. It's great. From family. But God's design for us is that we walk in the purity of family together and see some pretty cool things happen in that experience. But here's the big one right here. The defining characteristic of a member of the body of Christ and consequently a member of White Rock Fellowship that we strive for is this: love. Jesus said that people will know that you're my disciples by your ability to exegete deep levels of theological doctrine that you pull from the scriptures. No, he did not say anything like that at all. He did not say, people will know you're my disciples because of the way that you dress and conduct yourself in an orderly worship service. No, didn't say that. He didn't say Bible verses you had memorized. He didn't say any amazing list of things he could have. He used the simple four-letter word to say that people will know that you're my disciples, that you're followers of me, that you're part of my family by your love. The way that you love one another is an expression, but it's also evidence and proof that you're part of my family. And I will tell you, time and time and time again, I will get feedback about our church family, man, and I will hear things like, your jokes are ridiculous, you're pathetic, or whatever it is, right? I get a lot of good feedback too. But I hear this all the time. Dude, your church loves really well. Your people love each other, and they love people they meet. And guess what? That's what Jesus said we're supposed to be about, right? That's evidence that we're followers of Jesus Christ, the way we love. It's not about how we smart off. It's not about how much we know. It's not about how more intimidating or how more pious or how many more Christian rules we learn to follow. It's about how much we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul and strength and love our neighbor as ourself. And we live that out, man. That's a beautiful picture of what the family of God is about. That family resemblance that we've been talking about, right? Lived out. So one thing that we do in church membership, once a year, we haven't done it even for a couple years, I think pre-COVID, we invite people to be a part of our church and be a part of our official body here at White Rock. Last week, we did a little meeting. You got to watch a horrible quiz that was ridiculous with some effort put in there. But if you went to that, you know, you passed the test and you made it in. But if you didn't go to that, you're still invited to be a part of this family. It's cool. But what we're going to do in just a moment is invite the folks who would like to officially stand up and say, hey, I want to commit to being a part of this church family, because that's really all it is. Okay, Janet, I got to use your joke. It's so great, so great. I love using this illustration that really membership is sort of like, I think it's the difference between maybe living together and choosing to get married, right? It's just saying, hey, I'm going to be in covenant relationship. I'm going to walk in relationship together with this group versus I'm just going to live together and enjoy all the spoils of what church life is, but I'm not really going to commit to being part of the family. Makes sense? Cool. So then, Janet, this is so funny. I love this. Janet mentioned to me that, so like if somebody's not a member, does that mean they're worshiping in sin? Best ever. Nice job. And I just want to put that to rest. Yes, you are. Stop it. So great. So great. Every stupid illustration I come up with always breaks apart. But just to say this, you don't have to be a member of White Rock Fellowship to be part of this family. We love you, and we want you to be a part of this family. And you don't get treated any different. You're not the weird step cousin kind of thing, right? We're all weird step cousins in this family. That's the beauty of who we are. But if you're up for being a committed member of this church family and want to say, hey, I'm going to stand together with this group, you're invited to do that this morning. And what we're going to do is invite you to come up here in just a moment. I'm going to read through our love pledge that we do. It's a very simple thing that we just commit to each other, but I want you to see it. And when we're done, if you decide, hey, I want to be part of that crazy group that's going to join that crazy church, super great. I mean, you don't have to do anything. I mean, just give us your social security number, your bank accounts will be good. All right, we have this love pledge, and it's sitting out by our coffee bar, and it's just these simple points that we try to let our church family be governed by. It's kind of like our family rules, if you will. And it goes like this. I accept you as you are. There is nothing that you have done or will do that will make me stop loving you. We choose to love each other no matter what, even when it hurts, even when we're mistreated, even when people walk away from us. We say, hey, I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to choose that. I will not sit in judgment of you, whatever I hear about you. One of the things that happens all the time in the church is like, oh my gosh, did you hear? Oh, tell me so I can know how to pray. No, we're not going to gossip and judge one another and condemn each other. We're going to go to each other in love and try to communicate and find ways to walk through hard things. I will not judge your motives, whatever appearances may seem, believing the best about you always. We choose to stand in relationship and to walk in relationship together and to love each other regardless. I will not say anything unkind about you anytime, anywhere, nor will I listen to others speaking unkindly about you. You can count on my full support. Not going to give a place for the enemy to destroy other members of my family. We're going to love, and we're going to choose to love. And man, if there's an issue or a conflict, we're going to go to that person in love, and we're going to try to talk things out, figure it out. Because that's what people who do in family. We don't just ignore our family for the rest of our life. Now, some of you guys have seen that real played out, right? But conflict is part of life in interpersonal relationships, and you got to fight through conflict sometimes. And we have a real enemy trying to bring division, but we're not going to let that weak division overcome the power of love. Heck no. I will endeavor to become a more open person, disclosing my feelings, thoughts, as well as I'm able, and to the degree to which implies that I can't make it without you. I trust you with my needs and that I need you. We're going to try to be genuine, real, authentic people, not phony and fake. We want to just really love each other and really love Jesus. Try to walk that out, right? I may not always agree with your actions or thinking. I get this a lot. But I will love you as a person and will not be offended when we may differ over ideas. Now, if your idea is we should worship the devil, I mean, we got some things to talk about, right? But if your idea is we should have blue paint on the wall, and I think we should have neon green, well, we can probably find a way to talk through that and work through that, right? Because that's not worth having an issue in our relationship. Even as I desire to be known and understood by you, I covenant to be sensitive to you and your needs. I'll try to hear you, see you, feel where you're at, draw you out of your pit of discouragement or withdrawal. I care about you. You're my family. I'm invested in you. I love you. I want to reach you and help you and stand with you, right? That's just a commitment we make to each other. Whenever a problem develops, I'll endeavor to initiate constructive dialogue with you that we may understand each other, not let our relationship become clouded. Not going to just let stuff sit and harbor and bitterness grow, right? I'm going to stand together with you and try to work things out. I covenant to pray for you, our church board, the leaders of our church, in some regular manner, believing that our Lord desires his people to pray for one another, to bear each other's burdens, thus fulfill the law of Christ. Man, I'm going to pray for you. Man, I'm going to do one of the most powerful things I can do, take you before the throne of grace and ask that God would move and help and guide and meet your needs, right? And then, desiring to build a fellowship of love at White Rock, I pledge to do my best with God's help to be the loving person to you that God wants me to be, and I'll do all that I can to uphold you in affirming love. I'll tell you often I love you, beginning now. You may not hear that very much. I love you guys, man. I love this church. You may not hear that very often, but you are loved by our Heavenly Father. And I mean, look around you. Some of these people love you. You may not want that, but they love you, right? They love you. This isn't like one of those high school moments to be like, hey, I love you, right? That's not this, okay? Don't do that, guys. All right, this is about a different deal. So that's the picture of what we believe the church is called to be and to live out. So if you're going to join our church officially as a member, and again, please hear me, if you're not, If you don't get like a lesser degree of love, you are crazy loved by our Heavenly Father and by each other. But this morning, for those of you who've been contemplating this and would like to do that, I'd like to invite you to come and just stand right here across the front, and we're just going to do a simple prayer over you as we close our morning service. So if that's you, come on up and join us, and we'll get rolling here. Just have some like cool theme music for this, you know what I mean? What's love got to do with it? Oh, no, it's not. I'm sorry. And we take membership as families, and we bring kids into that whole mix. And so some of your kids are here and around and whatnot. You have teenagers who want to be part of that. You're invited to as well. So however we want to go. So, you know, some churches say brother. You know, like, hey, brother Austin, you know, those kind of things, right? We do crazy cousin. That's what we do. So if you get that going, like, no, we don't do that. Hey, for those of you who are up here, thanks for being willing to be a part of this family officially. Yeah, let's give them a round of applause. That's a cool thing. It's a really, really cool thing, and not something we take lightly as a church family. We're honored that you guys would say, hey, I want to be part of this family. We might question it, but we are honored that you guys have decided to be a part of this family. And we're going to strive to love you well, encourage you, and challenge you to help love us all well and bring inspiration. And there's no like status, right? So, I mean, you have the right to speak love into people's lives in the same way they want to speak love into your life, and we encourage that. And we're going to stand and walk together. And the good news is, we got some stuff to do in this life that's a challenge, but there's an awesome family reunion party that's going to last all eternity where we're all together, and that's going to be pretty cool. Yeah, excited about that, but also excited about this journey we do together here in this space, in this life. So I'm going to just pray over you guys and over us as a church family, and we'll conclude our time together here this morning. Let's do that. Father, thank you so much for your church. Every member, so precious, so important, so valuable. Thank you for these men and women, these friends here, Lord. Lord, who've just made a public statement here that they want to be part of this church family. Lord, we're honored to have them as our family. We're honored to do life together with them. And Lord, I pray that you would help those of us who are a part of this church family to love them well, to disciple, to encourage, to walk alongside. And Lord, also to listen and hear as they speak challenging things into our life and encouragement into our life. And Lord, I pray over each one of these folks, Lord, that you would just be near to them in an awesome way, that you would encourage their heart, fill them with your spirit and your power. Lord, help them to find the ways that they fit in the most comfortable and the most God-designed patterns for doing church life together and life outside of the building and the facility and even in this community and the world around them. Help them to experience what it looks like to live out their gifts and their talents and their abilities in service to you. Lord, help them lead well for all of us in service and in humility and in family. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them, watch over them, and protect them. And we commit them to you as they commit to being a part of this family together in all the days ahead. And we ask all of this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, through the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.